Let's talk digital. Yo. We are at the cutting edge of digital tweaks, changes, transformation.
The local digital marketing podcast.
Conversing with industry experts and excerpts from the exception.
Hosted by Audrey Nighy.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in South Africa in the next couple of months and years. How's it, everyone? Welcome back to Let's Talk Digital with myself, Audrey Naidu. It's great to be back conversing about all things digital. If you're new to the podcast, please don't forget to follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We have a great lineup of guests planned for you. My guest today is Nicholas Dumini, Director, Digital and E-Commerce of KFC South Africa at Yum Restaurants International. How's it, Nick? Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Great to have you and your coffee with us. I'm just like you. I can't start my day without a cup of coffee.
Hey? Yeah, absolutely. I don't function without my first cappuccino.
Yeah, me too. Listen, so we're talking about e-commerce capability. I just wanted to maybe get to know you a little bit better. I understand that you moved from beers to chicken.
Yeah. So I've been in the industry for about 12 years. Started off in Cape Town, where I studied, and shortly, you know, thereafter moved up to Joburg to work at SAB, as you mentioned. Initially, I worked for SABMiller Africa at the time, before the acquisition, before AB InBev acquired SABMiller. So I worked there for about 2 years, working across Africa as the digital strategy manager. Really, we were, you know, building capability, driving marketing effectiveness, driving some efficiencies, big projects around data, compliance, getting our different markets onto the same kind of systems. And then, as you mentioned, after 5 years at being at SABMiller, I left AB InBev. I moved across to KFC as the e-com and digital director.
Oh, which is quite a huge accomplishment in such a short period of time.
Absolutely.
So today, Nick, I've been on your global website looking at KFC's digital strategy. You have quite a aspiring vision in terms of driving digital sales and, you know, transitioning towards digital. Can you tell us a little bit more about South Africa's alignment to the global KFC strategy?
Yeah, sure. So I think it started a couple of years ago when Domino's went through a kind of an aggressive digital transformation, and they were able to really grow their market share quite aggressively, which I think was a bit of an alarm bell for the Yum Brands team. Yum Brands, as you know, holds KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. Following that, there were some aggressive moves made by KFC, bringing in some big talent from Google to sit in the business as our new CDTO. And, you know, once they had, you know, hired and brought in the right capability, a bit of a revision around strategy. And really the key strategy is around three kind of pillars within our growth strat. It's around access, so ensuring that we have as many digital access points as possible from a customer perspective, both physical virtual access points. So a physical access point would, for example, be, you know, switching on delivery in a specific restaurant, where a virtual access point would be, you know, something like launching, you know, chat commerce. The second is around ease, and that's really around making the ordering experience as convenient as possible, as easy as possible. So, you know, that would range from on-platform things like, you know, improving the UX and the flows, whereas in a restaurant it would be how do you introduce technology to you know, improve the collection process. And then lastly, it's around retention, you know, so CRM retention, data personalization, and that's very much underpinned by, you know, the types of technologies that we're using. So when we made these, you know, new hires in the business and defined this growth strategy, a lot of these frameworks were built out. And then along with that, some unified tech stacks and platforms that were kind of introduced. And we are now on a journey around adopting, you know, what makes sense for us and, you know, I guess moving at different paces.
Yeah, definitely. So talking about moving at different paces, how are we relative to other global markets?
So look, 2 years ago, when we started our journey, we were certainly, you know, closer to the bottom end in terms of digital mix contribution as a business unit. versus, you know, some of our more progressive markets. So Middle East, North Africa is probably the most progressive business in KFC in terms of driving digital mix and just general capability within digital. As I mentioned, the US was you know, kind of behind where they should have been relative to that market. So we were kind of pitched, you know, bottom end and have made some good progress over the last 2 years in building capabilities, you know, hiring the right individuals, building capability internal, and then switching on as many of these access points as I mentioned.
Okay, and then in terms of Africa, and I know you have some kind of involvement in terms of driving digital transformation in Africa. Mm-hmm. How are those markets faring?
So they vary from businesses that are relatively on par with South Africa to markets that have no e-commerce presence whatsoever. And I think the reason for that is that, you know, our franchisees that operate within Africa vary from, you know, countries where we've got 3 restaurants to countries where we have, you know, 50 plus restaurants. I'd say the most progressive market right now within Africa outside of SA is Kenya. They've been working with aggregators there for many years. They've also launched chat commerce. They've got a number of different access points, and I think really, you know, the industry in Kenya is certainly growing, and I think the pace and the maturity of the partners is different to a lot of other African markets, so it's allowed them to kind of, you know, move a bit faster. That's been one of the big challenges in SA with our e-com journey, is finding the right partners that can, you know, service us to the level that we require to execute that customer experience.
So you did say when we last spoke before the session that you do use aggregators. So what is your channel split on use of aggregators in South Africa?
So currently we work with Mr. D and Uber Eats. Across Africa we work with Bolt as well. So there might be a time where we bring Bolt on in SA. The split between aggregators versus own channels right now is sitting at about a 65-35% split. You know, 3 years ago it was 100% within aggregators. So, you know, one of our ambitions has been to grow that percentage to ensure that we can, you know, stand on our own feet with our own channels. It introduces some interesting complexities into how we serve customers and how we define our commercials for each channel. It's working with partners like that. But right now, as I mentioned, working with Uber Eats and Mr. Delivery as our two large aggregator partners.
I just want to touch on COVID. Mm-hmm. So you said you started this journey 2 years ago, which was 2020. Yeah. How did COVID impact your progression? I mean, it must have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I started in 1st of March, I think, at KFC. For new joiners, you have to spend a couple of weeks in the restaurants. So I spent 3 weeks in the restaurants learning how to effectively be a team member. When I came out of training, in fact, my training was paused because we went into level 5. So a bit of an interesting start for somebody coming into a new business, transitioning from beer into chicken, learning the systems and then moving into that virtual space. It was challenging. One thing it certainly did, though, was really place a lot of focus into our digital channels. The growth of our channels, the pace at which we needed to switch on channels to service customers, and it was a global effort. You know, a lot of communication and energy from the global team in Dallas around, you know, switching on as many channels as we could. So, you know, at that point in Africa, we switched on as many aggregators as we could at the time as the quickest one to make our product available through delivery. And in SA, we kind of launched a very aggressive agenda in growing our digital penetration to allow our customers to still access us.
At a foundational level, when we start to talk about e-commerce capability, obviously it's not just about plugging in digital sales capability. It's more than that. Can you maybe give us some, you know, kind of context of what should one consider when you're building an e-commerce capability?
Yeah, it's multifaceted. I would say that, you know, probably your people and your technology are your two kind of largest enablers. You know, ensuring that you've got the right capability in the business to execute your vision, and then bringing on the right platforms and partners, you know, to build those products is key. Then for a business like ours, you know, operations is critical. And that's really where we see the customer, you know, move from that online space into offline. You know, so from a delivery perspective, it would be working with the DaaS partner or the aggregator partner to, you know, hand over the food to the customer. And I think ensuring that we build in the right processes and bring in the right partners is critical. So I would say, you know, capability, product, and then partners are probably the three most kind of critical aspects to any e-com or digital transformation strategy.
Tell me more about your data integration plan and how did that unpack?
Yeah, so when we started the journey a few years ago, it was a big kind of opportunity for us to build out a defined blueprint and effectively a technology stack and marketing stack. The first thing that we needed to do was look at unifying our data sources. You know, so like many businesses, we had data sitting in different pockets, multiple partners, you know, different schemas. So ensuring that we had, you know, effectively a data warehouse where we could store this information, unify the information and access it was key. Then looking at what type of products were required to execute the vision. So one of the first platforms we brought on was Braze, which is a CRM platform, which allowed us to start leveraging our first-party data. As a business like KFC with 1,000 restaurants, we have access to a lot of customer data, and we saw it as a big opportunity to start driving, you know, one-to-one relationships and personalizations with those databases. And we saw significant growth. You know, in 2020, that was probably one of the biggest levers that we had was around driving a relatively simple CRM strategy, which we now kind of building further sophistication into. And then following Braze was the implementation of a CDP called mParticle, which just allows us to do further kind of segmentation around our database, you know, RFMs, and a few other kind of techniques, which just allows us to better operationalize that database. So technology is a huge kind of opportunity for business moving through the transformational stages.
A CDP?
That's a customer database.
Okay. Did you have any issues with regards to legacy systems and then, you know, bringing that across to new tech?
Yeah. So we probably still have a couple opportunities that exist within our ecosystem. The one is our web and app. We work with a hybrid platform. We've made some progress over the last, you know, 6 months. We will be moving to a unified platform based off that global roadmap. It'll be a progressive web app built in React Native. So one of the challenges that we face is the fact that we have built a lot of new features on our existing platform. And as you know, once you run a platform for 5 or 6 years and, you know, you have a relatively high developer churn, we work with a third party, it introduces some challenges into the architecture and the solutioning of the product. So I would say that's a big opportunity for us now to move over to a new platform. And the biggest challenge I think that we continue to face at present is around optimizing an existing platform that effectively is a legacy platform.
Definitely. And I know when we spoke, you spoke about automation as well.
Yeah.
So you're moving more towards automated functionalities.
Correct.
How is your back office and front office aligned?
So, look, automation I think is probably the next big move for ourselves and why we brought in the CDP so that we could start to automate and drive automation along, you know, finer segments. So right now we work with six segments predominantly, which is part of that RFM, you know, RFM execution that we effectively we did last year. And just for listeners, RFM is recency, frequency, and monetary value. So you're just segmenting your customer database and drawing similarities between them. What we've then done is we've identified specific opportunities with each of those segments. You know, so for a customer that, for example, has lapsed, a new user, a customer that purchases, you know, specific types of items repeatedly, we understand how we should be communicating with them. You know, once we had defined our segmentation, which again, I said is a relatively basic segmentation that we're going to build, you know, more finer segments into, as you mentioned, I think bringing on the right partners to execute that and implement the automation was key. So right now we're actually looking for a CRM specialist to bring in into the business. We work with a CRM partner in Australia. They were very recently acquired by Deloitte. And I think aligning, you know, back office and front is really critical in executing that vision.
your end-to-end value chain is important. You spoke about growth, and I just want to touch on that for a moment. In the last 2 years, your digital sales has increased from 3 to 12%.
Correct.
So that is a huge jump.
Yeah, look, I think it's been driven in part by the shift into e-com. You know, the latest stats that I saw was that our retail digital mix contribution as from a national perspective has doubled or more than doubled in that time period. But for us, as I mentioned, as a brand, you know, needing to allow customers to access us, when we moved into level five and came out of that space, we were allowed to execute delivery only. You can remember that the lobbies or the front of house were still closed. Drive through at the time was closed. So for us, you know, we saw it as a huge opportunity, and we really launched an aggressive agenda to switch on as many restaurants as we could as possible in terms of delivery, growing our partnerships with our aggregators and further deepening penetration with the aggregators, and then also looking at how we could improve the overall customer experience on our platform, driving our capabilities in CRM and automation, as I mentioned. So it has been a pretty fast and furious, you know, last 2 years, which I think we're hoping is going to kind of settle now as we start to mature. And I think a big part of maturing is, as I mentioned, launching a new platform and really starting to tighten the customer experience, the in-store experience, aligning and entrenching operations, which has been a big part of our business. For a business that's been operating for 50 years, launching these new channels and starting to change routines that exist in a restaurant, you know, as an example, our restaurant general managers are taking on different types of responsibilities.
We spoke about innovation. So you are also working on a project in terms of rollout of kiosk.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so kiosk was a project that we were going to run at pretty aggressively before COVID. We've seen good uptake across the globe. There's a lot of different benefits, I think, from a customer experience point of view, but also from a restaurant. So right now we have about 100 restaurants that have self-service kiosks. And kiosks, again, for those listening, it's just a digital ordering screen. You know, you'll see them in some of our restaurants, a couple of restaurants, McDonald's have them, and a lot of their lobbies too. So look, as I mentioned, there's a couple kind of benefits that we see from a kiosk. We see, you know, certain customers preferring to engage with, you know, digital screens. It certainly removes some of the anxiety of ordering and being able to spend time and, you know, browse the menu, you know, add different combinations and without that pressure of standing in the queue. Also, we see younger individuals feeling, you know, a lot more comfortable engaging with digital screens versus engaging with, you know, team members. Then from our perspective, I think, you know, we've got certain restaurants in the U.S. that are operating 100% digitally, which allows us to drive efficiencies in labor deployment in the restaurant in terms of reducing the number of team members needed to attend point of sales. It also gives us an opportunity to acquire, you know, customer data and then in turn improve the experience through personalization. You know, the type of products that we surface through their navigation and how we improve that overall kind of ordering experience. So it's been a relatively slow journey, as I said, starting in 2019, but, you know, a lot more focus going to be placed on that in 2022 to really drive penetration with our kiosks.
Before I move away from that topic, I just wanted to speak about your competitors like Chicken Licken, Nando's, even to an extent McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
How are you compared to the likes of your competitors in terms of your digital transformation journey?
Look, it's hard to draw conclusions from the outside. I'd say that I think that McDonald's has done a really good job at, you know, driving that digital agenda within restaurants. So the use of, you know, scanners at the point of sale with kiosks and their front counters and their lobby areas. They're also working off a great, you know, global platform and product. I think their collection service runs through that product. So in terms of, you know, how we you know, stack up, it would be difficult, you know, for me to say. I know that we are under, you know, similar journeys. The industry is small, so you hear what each, you know, business is doing. I know that McDonald's is looking at building out their own delivery capability too. I think Nando's is going through a similar transformation. So, you know, I would say, to be fair, we're probably all in, you know, similar spaces, big opportunity. So if anything, I think all of us will be running at the opportunity and driving that agenda pretty aggressively over the next few years.
All of you guys are running to the finish line, and, you know, it's a matter of who gets there first.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is that the finish line will keep moving out, you know.
Exactly. That's the thing with digital. Hey, you never reach your destination.
Yeah.
So in terms of marketing of this new e-commerce entity, how do you work with your marketing departments?
So within my team, we have marketing individuals. We're part of the marketing team effectively. So I report directly into the CMO with a dotted line into our CFO, who's double-hatting effectively as the chief digital technology officer. So we have marketing within the team. You know, our big opportunity right now is how do we better integrate our e-commerce activities into our national, you know, campaigns. So for the past few years, you know, needing to build out our capability pretty aggressively, we almost, you know, collapsed certain functions into my team. So I have ops, technology, product, finance, and marketing and support reporting into me. And I think now what we're trying to do is, as we've built a level of maturity, almost feed those teams back into the business, you know, so shift ops back into ops, finance into finance, and focus more on marketing the platform. So that's a big focus for us, integrating with the marketing team and integrating into those campaigns, opposed to running standalone e-commerce, you know, marketing campaigns, which effectively drive, you know, one agenda. KFC is a huge business, you know, big marketing spend, media spend. So I think for our ability to integrate better into our national campaigns and calendar will drive a big, you know, halo for the business, but also for our e-commerce agenda.
Yeah, it should be a seamless integration instead of a standalone,
absolutely,
you know, marketing effort. So you did mention when we last spoke about a center of excellence. Is that sitting within your team or within group marketing?
So that sits within my team. You know, as I mentioned, I think that was the need to build capability, you know, rapidly. I think as we move forward now, as I mentioned, op support and product will probably move into different areas in the business. And then within the e-com space, we'll probably, you know, hold on to performance marketing, technology, the areas where you really need, you know, depth of expertise that will service the business. So right now, and where we see in many marketers, you know, our product and product development team will move back into what we call digital and technology. Operations would move back into operations. And then within the marketing space, you would have that center of excellence sitting in the marketing team that would service effectively our brand teams. And that would be CRM, you know, paid marketing, specifically around performance, and then CRM.
So in terms of traditional marketing, we've seen this expansion of capabilities that's required as well as skill set. And it seems that the way KFC is structured, you almost had to apply a modern marketing approach to your structure and operational model. I don't see that in many brands in South Africa in terms of how marketing is structured, because it's quite interesting for me to know that you report into the CMO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've had a few changes over the last few years, and I think our structure is pretty fluid right now. We're looking at a different org structure to be implemented in kind of 2023. I think where we would like to move towards would be marketing managers and brand managers effectively executing through the line. So when they're developing a campaign, they're thinking both traditional channels and non-traditional channels. So that would be, you know, how they're servicing the customer within the restaurant, but how they're also servicing the customer from an off-prem and online perspective. So that might be through delivery or collection or kiosks. You know, I think that we are probably in between, kind of, as I mentioned, that approach where you effectively siloing e-commerce or digital marketing versus the full kind of through the line thinking, which is the next step for us. And I think the big opportunity right now is really defining how we better integrate as a team. But look, I think in terms of our kind of end-to-end org structure, I think being able to tap into markets like the US and like MENA that have been on this journey for many, many years and have maturity, you know, gives you a bit of a clue in terms of how you should be adapting and what the blueprint looks like. So probably moving a bit faster in that respect.
Do you find there's a challenge between traditional marketers and more your digital marketers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's been a challenge at all the businesses that I've worked in. You know, so at SAB, went through a similar journey. I think it's a little bit easier at SAB because you're not necessarily needing to get into the level of expertise with e-com, you know, not necessarily owning that kind of final touch point with the customer. And then at KFC, you know, you've got, I suppose, individuals in the marketing team that have come through a very traditional route, you know, through Unilever, P&G, classical marketers that haven't had exposure to digital now having to kind of think in a different way. You know, I think from my perspective, really the principles that underpin marketing are applicable in both spaces. And I think as long as you spend a bit of time and understanding, you know, a bit more of the technical aspects around digital marketing, it becomes, you know, a lot easier to apply. But absolutely, I think that's where we're sitting right now, is understanding how do we transfer our skill sets across to the traditional marketers as quickly as possible, build those working relationships, and then, as I mentioned, you know, grow these new generation marketers that are thinking through the line.
Absolutely. And I get a feeling whilst you on this path that you need multifunctional people in a project, almost like a project team. So it's no longer just getting a brief and launching the campaign. You do need a multiple skill set in that process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think although we move towards a through-the-line marketer of the future that can, you know, build concepts and execute across all touch points, I think there will always be deep specialists within our space. And if anything, I think how technology is progressing, how CRM is progressing, the ability to leverage data with data scientists, I think there's going to always be, you know, the necessity to work in a group of deep, you know, functional experts in addition to working with marketers that are thinking through the line. And that's, you know, how we are wanting to set up our organization, as I mentioned, of the future, where you've got those pockets of excellence, those deep, you know, experts in a space like product, in CRM and data science, you know, effectively working with marketing to execute whatever the campaign or you know, concept is.
Yeah, I was reading this interesting article on Harvard Business Review, mm-hmm. and they did this research and found out that marketing has 72 new capabilities. How do you expect, you know, any one person to have all of the skill sets? So I really like your approach. You do need those SMEs. You need the experts, but you actually can't run marketing in isolation now. Of the fact that we've changed, it's a new era of marketing, and how do you actually modernize it? And then finally, I just wanted to ask you, where do you see yourself transitioning to in 5 years now with all of these changes, the agileness, the, you know, the timeline you've taken to adopt changes? It's such a rapid pace, you know. Firstly, you need to keep up, but what does the future hold for you?
That's a really difficult question to answer. Look, I've typically migrated through my career to spaces where I believe I'll be challenged and where I can grow my skill set. That's always been critical for me, you know, moving into roles where I feel like there's an opportunity and I think an interesting challenge to solve. You know, I see myself, suppose, as a marketer that's been lucky enough to work in the digital space, grounded in the digital space, but then grow out a traditional skill set, which I can now apply across both, you know, offline and online technologies and very recently over the last 2 years. Personally, you know, it would be very difficult to say, you know, where I'd be. I really enjoy working in the digital and technology space, so I'd probably see myself continuing that journey in e-com. But I'd always be open, you know, to working, you know, in integrated, you know, brand marketing spaces as well, as long as it's got a very close, I suppose, opportunity to still kind of work in e-com. I've really enjoyed having the opportunity moving from SAB into KFC in an environment where you own, you know, that moment of truth, you know, that actual sale, and you can really optimize that that space. It's been a great opportunity. So yeah, difficult question. Difficult question to answer.
Okay, here's the easy one.
Yeah.
How do you see e-commerce advancing or maturing in South Africa?
So, look, I think that the pace of e-commerce adoption will continue. I think in a lot of markets, we're already starting to see that slow down now post-COVID. I think with businesses entering into the retail space, we only need to look at, you know, Woolies, Pick and Pay ASAP, Checkers 60/60 that have really driven, you know, rapid acceleration in the e-commerce space, which is going to drive wider adoption. And I think as soon as you start to transition customers from, you know, traditional sales into e-com through these day-to-day services like retail or KFC or Nando's or McDonald's, you're going to see that momentum continue to build. So I think we're approaching our tipping point. But I think in the next 12 to 18 months, we will see, you know, continued growth in the space. And as I mentioned, that will be around, you know, really large, you know, markets and brands moving into the e-com space and driving it as an opportunity within their agenda, which will then, you know, as I mentioned, convert customers into e-com users. I think that there are still barriers, you know, heavily reliant on cash. It's a cash economy, as you know. But I do think some of the work that Vodacom is doing in the digital wallet space through the launch of their super app, Nedbank's also launched a super app. I think we're starting to overcome some of these barriers. Data being a barrier too, I see that, you know, big conversations happening in government around data, you know, cost of data. So I see these barriers starting to slip away. And in parallel, some really large players invest significant amounts of capital into driving the industry forward. So it's an exciting space to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about what our president said in terms of the switching off of analog to digital on the 31st as well. So a lot of changes happening in the digital space in South Africa. It's quite an exciting time for us to be part of this process and the ecosystem.
Absolutely.
Within which we operate. But Nick, it was great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing. And I wish you all the best with your digital journey in the future.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Cheers.
We're excited. You're excited.
I really value and appreciate your support during this time.
Helping decision makers navigate the change and keep some change in their pockets. Don't forget to subscribe, follow our Instagram handle at
TalkDigitalZA.
Engage us on our website at TalkDigitalZA.co.za.
And who knows, you could be featuring on the next one.